block, eh? Hey.
Around.
Fuck around and find out. Sorry, let me pause this and we'll get into it. I think that's the best way to do it, though, right? If you're doing something that you love and enjoy, like...
Well, just fuck around and find out.
No, I mean, with the editing, like...
Just cuss around.
You have to, like, kind of fuck around with it, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, how boring would it be if you just was like, click record, go, upload? It's like...
That's why I think editing for a job or, like, editing, like, something like Short and Street or, I don't know, something that's got real, like, it's like real systematic.
Yeah.
That is when it would just be a job. It's like, I don't know, when you talk to guys that are like real into cars and that, and then you're like, why don't you just become a mechanic? And it was like, bro, the 5 times a year that I get to work on a sick car versus the 100 Priuses that I have to give warrants for.
Yeah, true.
Like, it's...
Yeah, I guess you'd like fall out of love with it, whereas when you're doing your own podcast, like you're doing your own editing, it's the stuff that you're creating and
yeah,
you get to, as we're saying, you get to fuck around and have a bit of fun with it.
And then you get to find out.
Yes, boy. We are back in the studio.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. We're back in the studio.
Well, studio.
With the big balls, Rick Rolls.
Studio in progress, shall I say.
We're back where it all began, in the hot box, in the sauna.
Well, not quite where it began. We've got more humble beginnings in here.
Oh, bro, I got a memory the other day. And not only that, camera phones.
How old are you?
What the hell was that? My mobile. No, but even just the photo that we took is of poor quality. And it was like a couple of years ago. Like, I'm so adjusted to...
Oh, yeah. It's how
everything's the eyes now.
Just how quick it changes, right? Even like, so every like 3-4 years, I'll upgrade iPhone.
Mm.
And then the camera quality from each one, you're like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And then not just the camera that takes the photos, but the actual screen, whether you're on your home screen or looking at, or you're on an app, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Is upgraded. So you're right. As soon as you go back like one, it's like, what the fuck
is
this?
What was I doing with this little dinosaur?
Yeah, it's like work tried to give me an iPhone 7, and I was like, oh, God.
Great, you're just strapping a bomb to my leg.
Yeah.
It's like, going to blow.
Like, I know it's supposed to just be for, like, texts and calls and emails, yeah, which it does fine, but yeah, no thanks.
Part of me wishes I had the ability to be like, all right, cleanse time, going back to a brick like a flip phone. If you're a real one, you know where I am.
I couldn't do it.
Nah, neither. No way.
Sorry, what photo? What was the...
It was a photo of us, discs pushed together.
Hell yeah.
The original
the interview
little,
style.
Yeah, yeah, like looking dead in each other's eyes, like interrogating the witness.
It wasn't until like 10 episodes in we like parted them slightly.
Yeah. Man, maybe people don't want to look at like, everyone this. Really knows me from the left and Andy from the right. I might let them fuck around and find out about the right-hand side. But yeah, we're looking just directly at each other, like stargazing, and we've got the little tripods, like the little tripod things that the mic sat on.
Yes.
Those little flimsy ones that would rock about. And then we didn't have like a mixer. We just recorded straight into the laptop, which is, for anyone that's starting a podcast, works perfectly fine.
We plugged like my headphones into your mic and your headphones into my mic.
And it was like, you just can't move too much. Or just yank it out.
Humble beginnings.
Yeah.
No, it's...
Now we've got a sheet and a garage door behind us.
Yeah. I mean, well, this is where we built our first kind of studio-esque setting. And it worked well for a while, but obviously Jared's moved out and into his tiny home, and I've kind of moved into this flat. And while that's all been happening, there's been renovations happening on this house, and it's finally starting to clear up. So... We will be looking to use this space again soon and set it up properly.
Yeah.
Actually be able to get some guests back in. If you guys are probably wondering why we're doing a lot of solo content.
No one wants to come to the tiny house. Yeah. There's legitimately no room.
Yeah.
There's a couch. Otherwise, someone's just sitting obscurely off to the side.
Yeah, we had Liam come in and do it. And
bro, the cords. It was the ability to even get people on two cameras was just terrible.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we'll be working towards, at least the start of this year, is getting this place back up and running.
Yeah, getting the guests flowing again.
Yeah, and yeah, getting some more people back in.
So what the hell is going on, man? What the hell is going on? What a bullshit not long weekend thing.
I know.
Sorry about the... Actually, yeah, I guess there's bigger things at hand about the treaty and whatnot. Like, I get that, and it's all a sacred day and everything, but just, can we fuck around and make it a Monday?
Yeah, or just... Can the government just give us the Monday anyway?
Yeah, oh, it's the most leave applied for day ever.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see why. I mean, I didn't mind it.
That's not fact.
It did. Oh, right. I thought you said we were full of facts with the laptops back.
Yeah, just but more conviction.
Oh, okay. yeah, I didn't mind it, to be fair. For those listening around the world, we had a public holiday on a Tuesday, and the Monday, obviously, unless you took it off, you had to go to work. And I didn't mind it so much, obviously, because prior to that, we had Auckland anniversary, so we had 3-day weekend into...
I don't really feel like I'm back at work yet,
no.
In all honesty.
No. But the
January's a joke. Oh, it's February, but like, you know what I mean?
The thing that messed me up the most was Tuesday night, because like, I got home from work Monday... And then like stayed up late Monday night and like slept in Tuesday. And yeah. It was like Tuesday night became like another Sunday. And I was so turned around. Like,
yeah,
what the fuck? What day is it? Like, that's what fucked me up. So, yeah, I'd rather do it on the Monday. I didn't mind having to go to work on Monday. That's fine. But
bro, you'll never meet a bigger advocate for a 4-day work week than myself.
Yeah.
To the man to your left.
Yeah. Where fuck is that?
I send every single study and article that I find about the benefits of it. To the old man, aka the big boss Ross.
Mm.
So, 2 Rick Ross references, never done it before.
First guest of the year.
Yeah. The boss.
Just you, like, dressed as him. That would be good.
That'd be blackface.
Oh, come on now. I just said dressed as him. You don't have to take it that far.
Right. Right.
I have to cut this.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. Monday was it was BS anyway. Like no one else was working, so I didn't get a phone call. I didn't like get an email, nah. And everybody that I contacted didn't reply.
Mm.
So I just potted around the office and got a few things done. But then Tuesday off was sick. Like waking up like Monday night, being like I've just come off the weekend and I can go straight back into like. Party mode, but by party mode I just meant like stay up late.
Yeah I did the same.
Yeah like a couple of beers and whatnot, don't get me wrong, I'm not a fool, but
that's why Tuesday fucked me over. Two like, you know, those Sunday afternoon blues.
Yeah,
it's like I got it twice this week.
Yeah, god.
Yeah, so that sucked.
Yeah, I was a fool. I was disrespected on the weekend. I was disrespected.
Why is that? What happened?
Also, I've been watching a lot of, I'm doing another like mafia movie binge at the moment, and they don't do their emotions very well. Anything, any emotion that they have that isn't joy, any sadness, jealousy, if they're not sure about something, they just say, you're disrespecting me. And it's like so I wasn't necessarily disrespected, but if you catch my drift, I was fucking disrespected. But I went into the bank, right? So I've got couple of bank accounts. I wanted to set one card up so that whenever I put in anything online for my bills and my subscriptions and whatnot, it comes out of that account. That's the one that my pay goes into. And then the day I get paid, X amount of money gets shifted into another account. And then I've got my card for that account, which I can spend on. And when that's at zero, I'm done for the week.
Nice.
And that's like my usual... I've usually had that set up until I lost my wallet down the Hook of All Falls circa 2 years ago.
Damn.
Yeah. Really screwed me up for a long time.
What were you doing swimming out there?
I wasn't. I was just near it, and I was just in the vicinity.
That's like dropping your keys down like a drain.
Dropping your keys off the sky tower when you're inside or something.
How unfortunate.
Do you reckon if you threw your keys off the sky tower, it would impale somebody?
Shit, yeah. Isn't this whole like...
Terminal velocity?
Like... Oh. I was thinking like the schoolyard theory, if you dropped a 5-cent coin off the top, it would split someone in half. Was that just going around my primary school?
No, we were saying that freaking Michael Jackson sucked himself off.
I thought that was the, what's that guy's name? Something Manson?
Marilyn. Oh, Charles. Yeah. Well, insert, Charles was the, what's it called, cult dude. And then Marilyn is the acclaimed singer.
Right.
Yes, but scary looking fella.
Yeah, that dude.
Yeah. I don't know. Insert weirdo here. And then, like, there was rib removals thrown around and, like, yeah, self-fulfilling fellatio.
So, back to the bank?
Yeah.
Disrespect.
I just went, like, we went through this whole thing and this lady was like, oh, just by the way, do you have a statement from another bank to prove your address? And I was like, I've got one from this bank because this is why I'm here, because I go to this bank. And she was like, things have changed. Like, the criteria has changed. You have to have something from another bank.
I said to them.
Yeah. No, you're onto it. I'm piggybacking off the back of you right now.
Yeah.
But I said, you are lucky that I am with two banks.
Yeah.
Because I like to chase the interest rates.
Nice.
But what say Joe Blogg off the street walks in?
Well, this guy.
What say Andy walks in, wants to set up, gets himself financially savvy? He's not with two banks.
No.
Yeah.
You have all my money.
Bro, I gave her my driver's license and she was like, do you have any, like, she's like, this works, but like, you need more ID. I was like, that's the ID.
Yeah, what?
That thing gets me cigarettes and booze. Yeah. All right. If that works for the guys at the dairy, that's good enough for you, bank.
Yeah.
And yeah,
that's really ridiculous.
Cool. Yeah. And then we eventually got it. So a fellow came over and he was like, what's the issue here? And I kind of explained it and he was like, Roger that. That's really piss easy. And he was just kind of said to me, he's like, no, look, like, he's already set up everything. You just need to apply for a card for this one. And I was like, yeah, sweet. Thank you, big dog. Salute. I then leave. Myself and the lady go get like some lunch at a cafe kind of just down the road. And then I get a call and she was like, oh, it's da-da-da from the bank. I pocketed your license. And I was like,
sheesh.
Yeah. First of all, I was like, shoot, I left my license there. Then she started apologizing for keeping it. And I was like, you're the moron. And then I went back and I was like, thank you. And then she was like, just by the way, the card doesn't work for 30 minutes or whatever. I was like, it's been more than 30 minutes. So I'm going to go test it out. It worked. Mm. I went home, was like, sweet, I'm going to chuck all my bank accounts and everything, all my payments over onto that card. They all fail. All of them say, no, contact your bank and everything. Oh. And then I go out, just try and use my card, like my normal card, a couple of days later. That starts failing, saying, contact the bank. Rung them, and they were like, yeah, you've maxed out your overdraft. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm spending on the card that's hooked up for a different account. And she was like, nah, everything went to your original account. So when you moved your bills over, they all came out and you've been spending on it. So you've completely gone into zero. Like, you've gone below zero, whatever my overdraft is, something like $200 or something. But I was like, but it was meant, like, everything got screwed up. The whole thing got screwed up. It's fixed now. But yeah, it was just like, they fucked around and they found out, Andy.
Honestly,
I didn't say a word, by the way. I did this whole thing with a smile, but like,
yeah, I've
got under my breath. Under my breath. God, I was saying some
things.
When
I get home and on my own podcast,
actually, I complained to the lovely lady on the phone. I said, I was like, is this difficult? And she was like, no, it's pretty straightforward. And I was like, thank you, because it seemed like a big job for the lady at the teller.
Oh. Did you just get someone new or like, I don't know, because I...
Yeah, I think I just got someone new that has never heard of the concept of money. Oh.
Like I...
Oh, that was the other thing. The pure disrespect. As I say, my money is with a different bank. Mm. And I'm not talking like da-da-da, but I don't leave myself much money to spend. I'm trying to be frugal at the moment because we're saving for shit.
Mm.
But she was like, oh, do you want the card for the bank with? And she cracked up and she's like, $60. And I was like, whoa.
Why, yeah, you oughta.
God, you're lucky I got this other bank statement on me, which is also not too impressive.
Jeez.
But yeah.
Be kind, eh?
Disrespected.
Like, that's terrible.
Disrespected in my own branch.
Is that like Westgate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I go there too now.
In the mall.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow, lots of unpack there.
Not really. It's just a moan.
No, just like from my own take on that. Like I get both sides of that. When I go to the bank, I've never really had a problem when I go in. Like shit's usually pretty straightforward. But I also don't deal in multiple accounts and and multiple banks and stuff like that. So I feel like my shit's pretty streamlined. I don't know.
Bro, they're usually like drill sergeants. You're like, I want to do this. And they're like, sweet, provide this, this, and this. And you're like, okay, sweet, done, done, done. If not, I'll print something out right now for you, or I can pull that up in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And they're usually just like, okay, roger, 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 click, clack, click, click.
Yeah.
Done, sir.
Yeah. That's log usually
out,
what
yeah,
I
log
get,
out of your app, log back in, all sorted.
But yeah, the disrespect on her to be like, oh, the $60 one. Shit, honey. Like, what if people, like, people are struggling right now.
Yeah.
Like,
not only that, I had $60. She threw me way deeper.
Yeah. But not just struggling financially. What if you were, had mental health issues and you were having a really bad day and this was something like kicking you over, and then you get someone like that just also like giving you that little nudge?
Yeah, laughing at brokies.
Yeah, like that's poor form, lady. Whoever
I wasn't
you
happy.
Are.
Yeah.
That's poor form.
Look, she was like, she was clueless about the whole thing because she was cracking jokes and like being nice.
Oh.
But nothing worse than when you're feeling like disgruntled than someone being nice. And
I know.
Like, God, everything you do is fake. Everything you've ever done is fake.
Look, do your job with like a smile on your face, but don't be trying to crack jokes with me when you're not doing your job correctly.
Also, it's a bank. We go there just to be like...
Yeah, but I don't
want
someone...
The bank is the most vanilla place in the world.
Yeah. I don't want someone like doing a bad job and fucking it up and then trying to crack jokes.
Yeah. And then also, oh, by the way, I got your ID. And you're like, oh, well.
Keep it. It's fake.
Yeah. I'll text you my neighbor's address. You go pick it up. You drop it off. But yeah, other than that, man, I went out four-wheel driving on Waitangi Day. That was pretty sweet. Went up the beach. Fuck my transmission, and I don't know enough to fix it. So I'm going to have to do a bit of a dive. One thing broke, and I was like, okay, I will just get a new that thing. And if it doesn't work... I'm kaput.
Been the whole thing.
Basically. Because from what I can understand, if it's not that, it's a major.
Ah. Drat.
Yeah, fuck
well,
that.
You've got mates and family that can...
They've all got that's the diagnosis from them, if it's not that, it's a major.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm really hoping it's that. But also... Yeah, I got burned, bro. I got a belly burn.
Oh, yeah. No,
I got a belly burn, yeah. Like Icarus, I flew too close to the sun. I don't know what it was, though, but I was just laying out by the pool at the old lady's house, and I had my book on my tummy just reading. It was like friggin' nearly 30 degrees of the pure New Zealand sun. For anyone that's not from New Zealand, maybe you live in a hot place. New Zealand sun has a vendetta.
Yeah.
It's got hurt in it, and it wants to hurt. And... I had this laid over. I've got like a perfect, like, it's kind of gone now because the sunburn's kind of going away, but like a book, like the bottom of a book-shaped thing across my gut.
Oh, fuck. You ever do like burn tattoos or anything like that with sunblock and that?
Like on other people?
Yeah, or like on yourself?
Not on myself. Oh, like I've done it on accident in terms of like when you wear a singlet at work and then you just kind of like slap behind your arm or something to put some sunblock on.
Oh, yeah. I remember, we're going back 13 years ago.
Jeez. The first camera phones.
I had this like girl's name like drawn on me in the sun in sunblock, and then like later that day was like horrifically burnt, and it was just like her name across my chest. And it was like, damn.
Who's the winner? Who wins?
Yeah, no, definitely not me. All right. My mum's face when she saw it was, especially at that age.
Yeah, you're on the receiving end of like a young sprouting dominatrix. It's like, sweet, own that one.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, it was all, you know, you're young and flirting and that's, you know, it's like, oh yeah, fuck, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
It's like,
cream me.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho.
So what else?
Yeah.
What the hell else is going on?
I've been feeling a little bit down, I'm not going to lie.
What's going on?
So I think it was a couple of weeks ago now. There was an announcement. I woke up to an announcement from my favorite football club, Liverpool FC. Jurgen Klopp is leaving the club at the end of the year.
Yeah.
End of the season, should I say.
So I knew this would have been like internally for you a big deal. I didn't realize it was like a big deal in general.
Yeah. Well, he's, I believe, the second longest manager in the currently the second longest current manager in the EPL behind Pep. Not sure if he's first actually. I don't quote me on that. So like, this guy's so charismatic, so like unbelievably good at his job. He's built the club back up from like a shambles. He's got the fans interested again, everything like that, and he's won every major trophy except for one with Liverpool, which they could very well win it this season. And yeah, it's just a huge deal. Like the whole like English Premier League is like losing a character. It's not just Liverpool themselves losing their manager.
Yeah,
so he's a massive advocate for the sport and for the club for this league in general.
I think that's what I didn't realize is that, like, first of all, I don't think I'm around the sport enough to realize when you're like witnessing history. Like, you can look back and you're like, oh, it's easier to look back and be like that. I can identify that and I can identify that.
Yeah.
But when you're kind of living it, I don't know, because it's like more visceral for me that it's just like,
yeah,
oh, I know he's a big deal because you talk about him a lot and like I see, like I follow certain pages that talks about it. But then it was like when it ended, everyone was just like, oh, we mourn together.
Yeah, it really is. It's one of those, it's classic one of those, like I didn't realize how much he meant to me and how much I'm going to miss him and how much like he meant for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Until it was announced. It was just, you know, you forget about it and you just think, oh yeah, we're going to carry on and Klopp's going to do his thing and you can see it in his eyes. Like he's the reason why he's leaving is he's out of energy. He's tired. You know, they play long.
Well, if you say he's charismatic and everything, that comes at a cost eventually.
That's right.
The tank doesn't run forever.
He's a very high energy sort of guy.
Yeah.
And that shows in his style of football and the way he like coaches. And I take a lot of points from his style and use it in my own style. And it's just, I don't know. It just sucks. It's like,
it's weird, eh? So I
didn't realize how much I would miss him until it's now said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm critical of like celebrityism in general, right?
Mm.
If someone came up to me and said like, oh, I'm really upset about that Taylor Swift was meant to be doing this and now she's not, like, I would be like, you're kind of weird for loving that person that doesn't even know who you are, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But dude, you question my allegiance on like a sports team, which is like, I'm sure for the Taylor Swift fan, it's like the same sort of like alliance kind of thing.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like, I'm happy to shit on people, but when it comes to me, or like when you're trotting on my toes.
I see what you're saying. Like, there's parallels between other celebrities and other like fashions that we're sports, you know, also exists in that realm where we look at these celebrities like that. But I think with Klopp's situation, with what he, like who he is, how passionate he is, and he's all about the fans and everything, he really did for like the last 9 years make it like you did know him.
Yeah,
that's where I feel like the difference is. Like, a lot of sports players or celebrities or whoever, you people idolize them, but they still don't do anything with their fans and stuff still, you know what I mean? Like, whereas this guy for 9 years has been like solely about the people.
Yeah.
Like that.
It was interesting. I said we've been watching like a lot of mafia movies. There's a scene in A Bronx Tale, which we watched the other day, and Mickey Mantle was this famous New York Yankee. And the kid that the movie's about, when he's young, he like loves the Yankees, and he's like, Mickey Mantle's the greatest kid ever. And then he grows up, meets a mafia boss, and the mafia boss is like, oh, you love Mickey Mantle, do you? You love the Yankees?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I love the Yankees. And he's like, yeah, go ask Mickey Mantle to pay your dad's rent. Like, he doesn't give a fuck about you. And then he was like, oh. And then in the movie, he's like, yeah, from then on, I never really gave a shit about the Yankees. And it was like everyone's on their own in life. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, fucking hell, jeez.
I mean, that is truth. That is the truth.
Yeah, you learned that, like, that the movie kind of, like, the theme of it is that it's a very lonely road when you choose not to let people into your life and whatnot.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Sorry, that, yeah.
No, it's a good analogy, because, like, I'm sitting here, like, idolizing this guy, but I think it's also what he's already given to me.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to pay my dad's rent or whatever it is.
That's the example they use.
Yeah, but with that example, like, he's already given me my, like, boyhood club back to glory, you know what I mean? And that is enough for me to be, like, thank you, you know what I mean? If he had come and flopped, then with the fishes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like on a smaller scale, like the Warriors hysteria that went around last year.
Oh, yeah.
When you're like, oh, sweet, the people are back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you're a fan, sometimes you're like, okay, the Fairweather fans are back. They're back when they're doing good. But I think there's a lot to be said about someone or something that can come in and just make shit happen like Weeby did with the Warriors or something like that.
Shit,
to get people talking again.
Very similar coach. Very similar but very different. In terms of how it's similar in the fact of building a club up.
Yeah.
You know, like, not there's managers that can come into a side, no matter what sport, and need superstars and then can manage superstars and win trophies.
Yeah. And there's skill to that as well.
There is, definitely. But there's a select few, very select few, that can come into a club with nothing.
Yeah.
And make it huge, which is a great segue. Because this long weekend, I watched the entirety of Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah? Did you like it?
Loved it.
Yeah, it's good,
it's fantastic.
It is heartwarming.
Yeah. I'll say it. I was full on crying when the father and son came on by Cat Stevens
at
last episode. Yeah. Because that song for me is like with father and son, with my dad. And I just binge watched for like 3 days this whole thing.
It toes the line of like comedy and then hits the heartstrings.
Oh yeah,
like How I Met Your Mother did it well as well.
Yeah,
it knew when to be funny and knew when to like knuckle down on the serious themes and then can ram home like, I don't know, human emotion very well.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's not hugely on football. If you're a football fan, there's a lot of Easter eggs, and you'll understand it and you'll like it.
It is, but it's just a device to move the story forward.
That's right. If people that don't know anything about football, it doesn't matter. It's just as good.
Ted Lasso himself doesn't know much about football.
Exactly.
Like you kind of grow with him.
And I guess until like the last episode in season three, like you kind of see him learning things. I was expecting him to come in not know anything, and then like develop into a mean coach of like the tactics and playing football. But yeah, the entire thing over the three seasons, he doesn't learn at all anything at all. He's just like, and I don't want to ruin it for people.
He's just a big time
it.
Like go team.
what a man, eh? Jason Sudeikis, like, he's our boy from way back. From we've talked about this guy.
We may have talked about Jason Sudeikis on one of our first episodes.
I think that's when he broke up with Olivia Wilde.
Yeah. We had a bag out session on Harry Styles.
Yeah. Dick.
I don't know what he's up to now.
No, he's probably all right, but I'm in Team Jason.
He's going two directions. God.
But no, fantastic. I absolutely, and I love the like nods to players. Obviously, Roy Kent being Roy King.
Yeah.
And Zava being Zlatan.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic that the whole like real people coming in. Oh, how do I say? Like they portray these real people,
yeah.
But then also have real people like Thierry Henry actually in it, and you know. So it's, I think they did a really good job there. Would have loved for it to go longer, but I also believe it wrapped up nicely.
Yeah, I know the third season wasn't as well received as the first two.
Nah, but it's hard when that's like a wrap-up season and season two wasn't thinking about wrapping up just yet. You know what I mean? So they had to jam all of the wrap-ups with all the character development and world-building and wrap it up in one season.
Yeah. That's a good watch.
Oh, 100%.
Where'd you watch it? You get Apple TV?
Mum did. Mum's like, I got... Oh, because she got a new iPhone.
Oh, yeah,
like
so you get it free for a year?
The 3 months free or a year or something.
Ooh, budget cuts.
Yeah. It might be a year. I'm not sure.
I got a new phone and a free Apple TV thing. I had Apple TV free for 2 years.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, clutched it.
I wonder if it depends on the plan you get maybe or how much you're paying or something.
I don't know. But I think it was just a thing at the time because Apple TV had kind of just come out.
Right.
So I think they were trying to woo people. If you've got it, there's a couple of good shows I'll tell you after.
I want to watch Severance. Is it Severance next?
Severance is good, man. Severance is one of my favorites.
Fuck, Ben Stiller one, yeah? With
Ben
Adam Scott.
Ben Stiller
Adam
directed,
Scott.
He's not in it.
Yeah, with Adam Scott in it. Yeah, I want to watch that next.
That's good. I don't know, where the hell is the second season on that? I think Writer's Strike affected it.
While we're still on the topic of movies, before you might want to move along,
No, I've got movie talk as well.
Oh, great. Over Christmas, I watched Predators. Yeah. Now, that's the 2010 film with, Lawrence Fishburne, Adrian Brody, Topher Grace.
Yo.
And I loved it. And I've seen it before, and I knew that I liked this one in particular. And then I started getting recommendations on my YouTube for, like, Predator films and like the chronological order.
Like,
and,
is it like, you're like and, Alien versus Predator, Predator? Like.
Yeah. Nice. Those ones.
Had that on lock since a kid.
So I've started watching these like lore videos on Predators, and yeah. I was like, this is sick. What a world.
Oh,
and
what was the alien race called? It's on the tip of my tongue.
Xenomorphs.
Yes. That's a gender now. Carry on.
So throughout January and start of Feb, I've now watched the entire Predator series, right from the first 1987.
Nice.
And also, rest in peace, Carl Weathers. He was played alongside with Arnie in the first film.
Yeah.
You know that bro meme where they're like the black guy and the white guy and they shake hands and there's the big muscles from that film?
Yeah. And bro, I think Alien vs. Predator might have been one of the first PC games I ever had. And then the little, at the start, you just get like face fucked by one of those little things. And bro, I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, I straight up, it happened. I would always be like, sweet, this is like one of the three games I've got. I've clocked Buzz Lightyear heaps. I'll go play this again. It's pretty scary. You start off in the depths with like a flashlight and this thing jumps on your face. And then it's just, I was just like, well, back to the part 10 minutes in where I have no idea what to do. Couldn't just go on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, it was before.
No guides back then.
No. Like, if it wasn't on the Encyclopedia Britannica thing on discs, then I couldn't do it.
Yeah, so I don't know what it was. I think this comes down to one of those things that, like, you follow what your, like, parents teach you or tell you.
Mm.
Like, I remember, I'm not sure about my mum, but, like, my dad being, like, not liking those films or, like, not, you know, being not... Not liking them is not the right word. Like, he just wasn't into that world.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not into it. I'll never watch them. And then, I got into it, started watching it, watched the whole thing. I was like, this is fantastic and great world building. I love, similarities to, and we've talked about this, like Saw, like the world building and the storylines and the character arcs and all that sort of stuff. Like,
yeah.
I think it's fantastic. There's so much lore behind it all, and it's, and the movies are fantastic. Not, fantastic, like, cinematics.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, the first Everything one ages, was in 87. But I hope that they continue to do more with it all. Or even, like, I don't know, like, start again. But, like, now you've got all this technology, like, start from square one and, like, continue the world. Yeah. I think it's great. It's so good.
Nice. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've been really into like my shows and movies at the moment. I think with like the writer's strike, with the lack of stuff coming out.
Oh, there's a million things coming out now, finally.
Yeah. So I've been like doubling back on stuff that like I haven't delved into before. And I don't know. People are probably listening to this being like, idiot, why have you not ever watched that?
Yeah.
But here I am. I just want the world to know.
Things you haven't seen either, folk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched, and I won't ramble on about movies in general too much, but this was like a famous thing that happened, and then Netflix made a movie about it. It was called Society of the Snow.
Yes.
Watched it the other day, and for what it was like the Andes flight disaster. Andes being the mountain range that stretches between Chile and...
Not this Andes.
Nah, the Andes. The Andes.
And D's nuts.
Oh, bro, my dad hit me with a D's nuts the other day.
Yeah.
Sent me a photo. He goes, you forgot. And I was like, I forgot what? And he asked me to pick up a box of like screws and shit. He sent me a photo. He's like, D's nuts.
Oh.
Yeah, bro, my own father. My own father. My kin. The man I look to.
Oh, roasted.
Yeah, it's all right. He gets off this time. Anyway, so we watched it. If you don't know what it's about, in 1980 something, I got the date written down somewhere, but yeah, there was like 46 people that got on a plane. 19 of them were from a rugby team from Uruguay. I'm just gonna say Uruguay. from Uruguay that they were heading over to Chile to play rugby. Mm. And first of all, cool that South American rugby was kind of booming at the time, and to put a team, like to have a team together. Hell, I was like, interesting.
Mm.
Like, I've heard about it before, because it's like, from what I'll go into, there's more things that came from it than just the movie. And there's been movies before, there's been books about it, it's pretty famous. And what it was, yeah, there's 19 of these dudes, plus five crews, families, sisters, mums, cousins that wanted to come on the trip, they could all come on as well. And what happened was, you can't just directly fly over the Andes to get to the coast, right, where they were going. So you have to fly south for a while, and then it gets to a certain point where eventually there's a clearing in the mountain range where you can hook through, cut through, and then head back up north, up the coast.
Right.
But due to... So apparently they talked about the plane that they went on poorly. They called it like the tin slug or something like that, because the plane was severely underpowered. Oh, but they took that plane anyway. This was unbeknownst to the people on board, but it was like a joke among pilots.
Oh shit!
They went on and
no health and safety back then.
Yeah, they had ran into poor conditions, and they were like, "Hey, there's going to be some turbulence and everything. Just letting you know." So when the turbulence started to hit, they were like, this is kind of normal. We were prepared for it. But what happens is, because these mountain ranges are so peaky, that when the wind rolls over, it rolls down the valley and up the other side and causes a vortex. Mm. And if you're flying over them at a certain altitude, you can get sucked in and pulled down.
True.
So these smaller planes don't stand a chance. So they got pulled in, and the back of the plane actually clips the mountain, right? Rips the back end of the plane off. See you later to half a dozen people.
Oof.
Dead. Then the plane crashes. And these blokes and women are stranded at 11,000 feet altitude, where they basically are in the middle of bumfuck nowhere.
Mm.
So in the night, it gets down to negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit. So I don't actually know how that works. And then in the day, it gets to like 70 degrees Fahrenheit, which I think is around 25. Maybe a little bit less. But like, it's okay in the day.
Mm.
They're missing, right? So the Air Force and everything are out looking for them, but a white plane in a mountain range is pretty goddamn hard to find.
Yeah.
So after 9 days, they call the search off. And they were like, sorry, these guys can hear it on their radio the whole time.
True.
They can hear them announce that they're not doing anything. They've called off the search.
I don't remember that.
They have enough...
Sorry, before you keep going, is this a film or a series?
So this was a film. But it was a dramatization of real events.
Right.
So it's basically just like, this is what happened. We've made a movie about it.
Yeah, yeah.
The characters' names are the people that were involved and
yeah,
et cetera.
I wasn't sure if it was a film or series. I missed that part.
Yeah, she's a movie.
Yeah.
And they had minimal rations in terms of food.
Mm.
So they had like, I think they said they had a couple of prunes, like a tin of dates, some nuts, like just things... for your couple of hour flight.
Yeah.
So
God.
They rationed that out. There's reports of some of these dudes were just eating an almond every 3 days to make it stretch, right? And
wow.
Once that they ran out of food in like a week, because there were still quite a few people at this point, 46 people, and they, I can't remember how much they had lost, but obviously as soon as they land, there's people that are, they've got people in a coma. They've got dead bodies on board, which they bury under the snow straight away. So they're like, look, we're just going to preserve the bodies and we'll fucking worry about it later kind of thing. But mm-hmm. we just need to survive right now. There's guys with broken legs. There's guys with like gashes that are looking to get infected and everything. They're above the point. They're so high in altitude that nothing can survive, right? There's no animals, no plants.
Mm.
They run out of food. They start eating the leather off their shoes and they start eating the stuffing from in the seats.
Oh my God.
Things take a turn, and the quote from one of the people was, there was a feeling going around that our bodies were eating themselves. So the idea got pitched.
Who was that guy? Hey, like,
it doesn't say, but why don't we eat the dead? Cannibalism, right? Problem is that a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of South American people, very Catholic.
Mm.
So the idea of them going against the Bible for survival was like, we are 100% going to hell for this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and in the 80s as well, like a lot, I'd say a lot more of the population are religious and still heavily believing in a lot of this, that yeah. sort of stuff. So even if you were someone that was like on the fence, then you would be questioning it right about now.
Yeah. So they kind of like, they had these two guys, which in the movie, they just refer to them as the cousins. And they were cousins of one of the players that was obviously a main character. And they kind of allocated themselves to be in charge of like, we'll cut the bodies up. Damn. So they, Mafia. So there was a rule. So it doesn't actually say it in the movie, but upon further research, it says that they did have a bit of a system. They didn't just go straight to being like feral. They were like, okay, if we are going to eat someone, not everybody said yes, by the way. There were people that said, no, no way, not doing it, going to continue to starve.
Jeez.
They didn't eat anybody that was a sibling or partner of anybody that was still alive or any mothers. So they ate the people that... So if you died,
yeah,
I could eat your wife. But if you were alive, your dead wife was off limits.
Right.
Like, nobody that was alive, none of their dead relatives or anyone that was with them could be eaten until they had gone through the stock.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these cousins kind of, like, cut
so they, oh,
off man. Little bits, and they're slowly getting through it. And it also doesn't say it in the movie, but it says that they had bits of metal that they would heat up in the sun and kind of just fry it off to...
Just to make it
palatable, because they didn't see these as like people at this point. They were like, no, that is essential protein.
Mm.
Like, we need something to satiate ourselves, because they said,
I'd do it.
Yeah. Bro, that's what I mean.
I'd fucking do it. Look, if I was so hungry, having one almond every 3 days to the point where I was eating myself, or my stomach was eating myself, I'm sorry, but you're gone. And if this means I don't get into heaven, then fine, because I would like dying of starvation. Like,
yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Well, they kind of hit the jackpot from a cannibal point of view, and they get hit with an avalanche.
Good thing.
And 13 more people die.
Oh, what the
while
hell?
While they are in the plane resting, so they kind of set up like a little camp. They ripped all the seats out and everything, and they made like a bunker for the sick.
Okay, if that ain't God telling them to eat,
yeah,
then I don't know what they're talking about trying to get into heaven, because they're sitting there like worried about
by
that.
By the point of the avalanche, they are feasting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then, but then, fuck, God goes, yeah, have another 13 people.
Well, they run out of skin, they run out of meat to eat, and they start opening up, and they start getting tucked into like liver and organs and, dare I say, even brains, Andy.
You might say it. I can't believe we're talking about cannibalism. Why can't I speak today?
Cannibalism. Cannibalism to camera phones.
Can't believe we're talking about this on the pod. But yeah, that's... I'd probably have no shame in it. I say that, but...
So the main
when you're
thing,
in the situation...
Yeah, the main thing no that idea. They kind of dwell over, and they start to announce it, when they start eating their mates, they... end up saying like, because the first, like, one of the first conversations they have is like, he never agreed to be eaten. There's like a consensual thing going on, but it got to the point where people are starting to drop like flies, and like wounds are getting infected. There's guys with head injuries and everything, and they're saying like, once I die, eat me, like, go for it.
Mm.
So there's consent that's being given,
right?
And they're kind of taking turns, the cutting up of the bodies and the serving out of it. It's made sure that it's all completely out of eyesight, because there is people that don't want to see it.
Disassociate it with,
yeah.
But I obviously know the end of the story. Because if you didn't know the story, then you need to be educated. Because I studied it in fourth form English. But what happens when they, like, because it's illegal, obviously.
Yeah.
So, like, what happens there? Like,
bro, this is one of the things that I was going to bring up, because we were talking about...
Do you want to say the end of the story?
Like, okay, the end of the story. So there was these two fellas, right? One of them was actually, when the plane crashed, he went into a coma for 3 days.
True.
After that... I
didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Educate yourself, Andy.
He wakes up, and in the meantime, there's a couple of guys that are going for hikes regularly to try and get to the tail of the plane, because they were like, that is where we might be able to get some more supplies and get like the radio, and we can get like a working radio and everything.
Mm.
And... they don't like nothing comes from it. They get over to there and then nothing comes from it. And they come back to camp and they kind of figure out, they're like, okay, the pilot said we have passed this point, which means that we, if we can just get up and over that ridge, I'm sure we'll be able to see Chile and at least we'll kind of know where we are. But we need to get up this fucking, I think it's like a 5,000 meter ridge.
Yeah, it's huge.
They get, there's these two guys, so they sort of form like a self-government and they say, okay, if these are the guys that are doing that, you can have a higher allocation of the meat because you need to be strong. And the guys that were doing the digging or cutting up the bodies or actually having to do stuff that were looking after the injured, they got prioritized for food. And they kind of self-governed. Eventually, these guys hike that ridge, realize we're a long way from anything.
Mm.
They end up hiking over 10 days with zero mountaineering experience or equipment. They hike like 65 kilometers back to civilization where...
Fucking crazy.
And then a couple of days later, over 2 days, they... come back and fly everybody out.
Mm.
And they're, I should say, they were in the mountains for over 2 months.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, what happens when they get back to civilization and they tell, like, they have to say, like, oh, we had to eat people.
So, they were reported as heroes, right? So, there was like, oh, this crazy thing, look at them. They didn't say straight away.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah. They were like, we will take this to the grave kind of thing.
Yeah.
It did come out though. Like they, yeah. I think they had like a press conference or something and was like, look, we're not, you guys are painting us as heroes. There is another side to this. There's a reason. There's a reason that there's bones around.
Yeah, exactly. Like people coming in for the rescue. And I'm sure there's a lot of people speculating like how they live 2 months in the Andes Mountains. So I think people probably kind of knew. I bet the press was like, hey.
Well, it was. That was what it raised questions around, like survival ethics. How far are you allowed to go to survive? Are all cards on the table, or should you have to abide by laws still? And is there a possibility of being charged with said laws when you exit those conditions?
Yeah. Because imagine surviving 2 months and you go into prison.
Yeah. Oh, just by the way, you did some fucked up shit, man.
Yeah. I think they're scarred enough.
Get stung with a visa.
Border patrol. Back where you came from, mate.
That, you're like 10 days into like a 60k hike and then just on the border there's a horse and it's like ID.
Oh, fuck. Didn't they, I heard somewhere that apparently if they walked like 10 kilometers in a different direction.
Yeah, there was an abandoned resort that had stockpile of shit and a working like communications and everything.
Yeah.
They just went the wrong way.
Yeah.
So they thought they were already in Chile. They were still in Argentina.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, it was 20Ks and it was bad terrain.
Yeah.
But like, it was just not in the direction that they thought things were. But their bearings were just way off.
Shit.
Yeah. I mean, it happened in, like, going back to like the survival ethics thing, on a lesser scale, it happened in 2012 with that cruise ship. There was a cruise ship in 2012 and it crashed and started to sink, right? The captain abandoned post. And was like, I'm outies, laters.
What?
30-something people died?
Was he okay? What, took the only raft?
No, it was like a big ship. Like, a lot of people got saved. But by maritime law, and by law, captain... Like, going down with your ship is literally like a thing. Like,
yeah,
you have to be the last one to exit the ship. Mm.
What a dick.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, like, with the... survival but that's the thing, like, versus like the law, but who determines that? Is it like a,
I don't know, it's all up for public scrutiny.
Because like, what if you just, it's like a real minor incident and you're like, survival laws.
Yeah. That's the thing, when you'd say, fuck yeah, I'd eat someone if I need to survive, but fuck yeah, would I bail on my thing to save myself on a sinking ship? Like, it's the same survival, but does your opinion change when you find out that the captain hit the rocks because he himself chose to go off course? Because he wanted to show off his cool boat.
Idiot.
Yeah. It's like a whole ethics discussion.
Dick move. Like, if you train to be a captain, I don't know what's entailed with that, but if you train to be a captain of a ship and you're in charge of that, I feel like you should take your oath seriously rather than ditching the ship.
Yeah. I mean, Matt, like, if all they had was like a little bit of food, but I don't know, if someone, if they found like a guitar or something, like lift the mood. So you're like stuffing your face with shoes and that, and someone's like, oh, maybe a little bit of Wonderwall. Prang. His finger fell off. Get him. They were saying that one of the dudes that the movie's kind of based around, they kind of use him as like a central character. Spoiler alert, he doesn't make it. He's one of the last to die before the rescue. He was 25 kilos when they found him.
Holy.
And he was like a healthy rugby playing dude, like a lawyer. This is a quote from the book about what the guys said about their own cannibalism. I'll read it to you.
Ooh.
Our common goal was to survive, but what we lacked was food. We had a long since run out of meager pickings we'd found on the plane, and there was no vegetation or animal life to be found. After just a few days, we had the sensation that our bodies were consuming themselves just to remain alive. Before long, we became too weak to recover from starvation. We knew the answer, but the answer was too terrifying to contemplate. The bodies of our friends and teammates preserved outside in the snow and ice contained the vital pre-preserving proteins that would keep us alive. But could we do it? For a long time, we agonized. I went out into the snow and prayed to God for guidance. Without his consent, I felt like I was violating the memory of my friends, that I would be stealing their souls. We wondered whether we were going mad to even contemplate such a deed. Had we turned into brute savages, or was it the only alternative to survive? Truly, we were pushing the limits of our own fear.
Yeah, that's heavy.
Yeah. But yeah, so they copped a lot of media scrutiny and everything when they came back.
I bet. Media, yeah. That's all they do.
But that's the thing, though. Like, is it that is what brings into the question of media ethics. Is it okay for them, like, should the media have to consider the sensitivity of such a situation, or can they just sit there and feast on tragedy?
Media?
Yeah.
Media will feast on tragedy.
Yeah.
That's how they live. That's how they make a living.
Mm.
But the whole ethics thing, I think, should be on a case-by-case basis. I don't think it would work to have a rule or law in place that says you're now in survival, sort of thing.
Deeming what survival is when you're literally isolated, when no one's, there's no judge.
It needs to be kind of done after the fact.
Yeah.
Because some people might disagree, but I think it's, I don't know if ethical is the right word, but I would say it is ethical to do what they did to survive.
Yeah. I mean, I think to them,
is that the right word? I don't know. They did the right thing.
Ethics is your moral compass, essentially.
They did the right thing, in my opinion. They were already gone. You want to live.
Yeah. They seem more concerned about whether they would be right with God than with the law. So.
Yeah, true. Well, also, those countries in the 80s, God probably was the law. You know,
yeah, exactly. That's true, actually.
They're intertwined. So. Yeah,
you could probably... Oh, no. Yeah. I'm in jail. Here's 20 pesos. And a foot.
Yeah, what if they come back and they're like,
I think I just shat out a toenail.
I wasn't thinking that at all. I was thinking, like, what if they still wanted, like, human, like.
Yeah, the dude's just sitting there holding nothing. Are you eating that? He's playing, twiddling his thumbs.
Because he could, would they be able to go back to normal food, like.
Bro, I'm pretty sure they didn't like the humans.
I don't
think they acquired a taste for the finer delicacies of butts.
You hear horror stories, right?
You're like Armie Hammer in that, yeah. But yeah, going back to the media, like sensationalization of like tragedy, right? But it's been happening forever. Like, you go back to the First and Second World Wars. The media manipulated through like posters, radio, everything. We had a name for it and we still have it. It's called propaganda.
Mm.
Like, you're allowed to do anything. Even further on from that, we had anti-war propaganda, like the Vietnam War, where there was a lot of the US turned against the idea of the war in Vietnam. So they were just outright showing footage of the war on the screens, and like the harsh reality of the war and the killings and everything was brought to your lounge set where you thought you were safe.
Mm.
there's that famous poster that was, because this is also like in the hippie kind of time as well in America. There was that famous poster that said like, war is good business, invest your son today.
Fuck.
Yeah. And then even further from that, like something that is more of our age or maybe just before our age, like Lady Diana, right?
Mm.
On that tragic night in Paris where she crashed, everyone says that she was getting chased by paparazzi in cars. Like that's when like security and privacy of celebrity and what you can and can't report on or what you're willing to for a story,
yeah,
can even go forward. I mean, again, it keeps happening, and there is a running theme with war here, and this is like my last example, but the Iraq war, right? So Bush claims, sorry, this is, I'm going way on a tangent here. Bush claims that Iraq, so post 9/11, Bush is like, we need to go to the Middle East, we need to go to war.
Mm.
And I don't have a stance on this, just by the way, this is just some sort of stuff. He's like, yeah, we're going to war with them. They have these things called weapons of mass destruction, and they're going to fuck us up. We need to go there, and we need to go there now. The UN, like the United Nations, are like, hey, you need to do this properly.
Mm.
We're all saying, don't go. Everybody voted no. US go regardless. The UN was like, we do mass destruction weapon checks on Iraq all the time.
Yeah.
They had done 70 checks and found nothing. By the end of the war, whenever that was, whenever the troops got pulled out, the US never found any sort of weapons of mass destruction.
We all know what it was for.
Yeah.
They all went in for oil, right?
Yeah. But it was all based on, like, this is my last thing about the whole media ethics thing. Like, it was all based on flawed information, and nothing was like certain, and they violated every basic law that the UN had for doing so.
And you can't think for a second that the higher ups in the US didn't know what they were doing, right? Like they weren't like going, like the media wasn't corrupting them. They were the ones using the media to corrupt the people.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think governments do it all the time.
I don't know, man. Like, the US are...
I want the truth and everything, but, like, bro, I can't even turn on, like, Channel 1 News or anything anymore. Like, it's just so fucking miserable.
That's what... I just followed The Herald on Instagram the other day, and they just post, like... It was just, I woke up, and they're like, oh, the zoo put down a tiger cub, and I was like, oh... Don't need to know that.
No, I didn't need to know. Like,
yeah, bugger.
Fuck. No news today, like, on those mainstream channels, like, have anything good. Like, when I say good,
it's like a fun story at the end where it's like, old Helga's celebrating 100 years in her friggin' Central North Island bakery. Come line up for a custard tart.
Exactly.
What do you say, Helga? And she's like, I've never changed the custard. And then they're like, that's it. Back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. When I said good, I mean, like, happy.
Happy-go-lucky little...
Not good as in, like, good quality.
Yeah.
Like, the quality is probably shit anyway. I haven't watched it in years, but it's miserable, and it's, yeah, I think it's detrimental to a lot of people's health, like,
yeah,
when they watch that shit.
Nothing shocks me anymore, man, and as my circle gets smaller and I get more pissed off, like, about a lot of things, and I like to dig deep.
Getting old and grumpy.
Oh, yeah, dude. I went into the well on MK Ultra, like, recently.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, fuck the CIA, dude. Yeah, mind control in the 70s. Anyway, so that was my rant about that.
Nice. Love a good rant.
Dude, I'm spent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got any yucks or yums?
Yeah, yeah, I can do some yucks and yums. I kind of blew my load on the yucks early.
Yeah, I've used a lot of the, same. Just well, as topics in this episode.
My yuck was going to be the bank, but I was like, I kind of needs, maybe I needed to flesh it out a little bit more rather than just saying, fuck, like, yeah, screw the bank.
Fuck the media, bro, fuck the government, bro, fuck the bank.
I know. Bro, I sound
like this episode.
I sound like a tin hat, yeah. Bro, I don't have any neighbors anymore. All I worry about is the big city. What are they doing down there?
Didn't we used to, like, draft off our favorite drinks? Getting very political. Today.
Bro, I haven't talked in 2 months. This is what you get. This is what's been on my mind.
Yeah, yeah, nice. I like it.
This is what Christmas was in my house.
My yuck this week goes to iOS updates.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. You know, like, firsthand in the last 2 weeks, like, how shoddy my messenger's been. And I don't even understand why, because everyone else's works fine. And I checked updates. Everything's good. I checked settings. I checked everything. Just my messenger app was fucked, like, for some reason. You had a look on some
Reddit forum. Yeah, Reddit thing. And then just like a forum.
And it's happened to other
people. Everyone was like, yeah, 100%, this is a thing, and there's just no fix.
Nah, there's nothing. But I've not met anyone else in person that it's happened to, and it's like, why is this just targeted on me? So I want to know if anyone else's messenger just fucks out, and it's like, doesn't tell you that there's a notification. And then like 2 days later, you open up Messenger to send something to someone, and then it all comes flooding in, and you're like, fuck. And then it wasn't till, end of last week, there was an iOS update that I had to search for. My phone didn't even tell me there was an update to do.
Ugh.
And then it fixed it. Wow, it's working now, but fuck, are we not in the day and age of technology?
What happened to just deleting the app and downloading it again and everything's better?
Exactly.
Like, these camera phones.
What world are we? Fuck, we're fucking old and grumpy cunts, aren't we? What's your yuck?
My yuck is Zeus, the god of thunder.
What?
The book I'm reading at the moment is... Dude, I sound like the most like sideways cunt at the moment. The book I'm reading at the moment is like a basic retelling of Greek mythology. And it's just like a whole
just
lot
a
of
basic version.
Well, it is like it goes a lot deeper, but it's pretty much like a whole lot of short stories so that you get the wider picture. And it's told from the Greek side, and then it's told like as it was adopted by the Romans, because the Greeks gave their gods to the Romans because Romans were a noble people and they believed in like society and government and construct rather than gods. Whereas the Greeks were like, hey, you know that little funny thing that you're like, why do those flowers bloom this time of year? There's a god for that, and that's her gift. And then the Romans were like, oh, okay. So obviously, like, we call it, well, the Greeks called him Zeus, they call him Jupiter. They do like the Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury, Pluto, as opposed to like the Hades, the fucking.
Yeah.
And then the end of the book, which I haven't got to yet, ties this all into how like that affected Norse mythology, which I'm excited to get to.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah. But that's just like a little bit because it was such a blip in time. But yeah, I don't know. Zeus, like, as cool as he is, and yeah, he's shredded and he's got a cool beard and everything. Dude, the dude can't keep it in his pants. Like he just screws everything up all the time. And when man starts doing well, like when Prometheus is like, you wanted humans, I've made them, and they're pretty sick. Look how much they survive. Zeus is like, nope, they're too good. Fucked a lot of them. Ruin everything. Start again. That's like where they had the gold, the silver, the Bronze Age. And it's like a telling. This is like not like when they invented like Bronze Age and like medieval times, but this is how they tell it. And he always, when things get cooler than him, he just smites.
Yeah.
And whenever he sees a pretty lady, he's like, I'm not allowed to see her. Oh, there was one chick. He's like, I really want to root her in my god form, but everything that I root in my god form, like, she'll combust.
What?
But he does it anyway. And he was like, needed that.
Explosive
needed to get that one off. Yeah. So he just goes around like killing chicks that he wants to root. And then he has these babies and he's like, don't want that. And sends it to like hell. Or if he wants to prey on chicks, he like turns himself into like a cow. And he's like, she could not deny me as a cow because I was more beautiful than every other cow.
What the fuck?
And then when they get close, he transforms into himself again and then touches them and then they die. And he's like, gotcha. But yeah, he's kind of like a schmuck.
Fuck.
But yeah, it's good, good. A lot of names to remember, but it's not like important. But
yeah, fuck that guy. That sounds...
He is a Chad. Like, Zeus is a mega Chad.
That would make for such a good comedy show.
Yeah.
I think.
That's the thing. I have to, like... Because it's kind of, like, at some points, it's, like, quite dense. I have to dumb it down for me.
Yeah,
where I'm like, Zeus wants to root, but she dies. But it's told as, like, there are Zeuthiths.
Yeah, I can imagine it's written properly, yeah. Ah. It's a good way of explaining it, though.
Yeah, all good.
Can we do a follow-up next week? I want to hear more from Zeus, but
it's told by Jared. I can tell you some tales, man.
Told by Jared.
Tell you some tales. I got a few in the bank now.
Cool. My yum this week, it was going to go to the Predator films, but we've touched on that. But it goes to Portaloo Graffiti.
Oh, yeah.
There's no better way that to like make you laugh on sight than some of the shit drawn in the Portaloos. And this was a simple one, right? Like, I've been on this site for like 6 months now, and there's a couple of Portaloos there, and they get cleaned twice a week pretty good, and like I don't have many people on site anymore using the Portaloo. And then you think you've seen all the graffiti because you've been in this like a couple times a day or whatever. And then you see, I just saw this like real faint like drawing, and it's like, I was trying to make out what it said, like looking at it, and it says, look up. And I was like, look up. It was just a dick on the ceiling. It was just like so trivial.
Yeah.
So like something.
Yeah. And bro, I love the little petty arguments. Yeah. Hey, bro. The New Zealand like insults where it's like someone will be like, this guy sucks or something, and then you just hear like, shut up, small balls.
Yeah. it's so good. It's like I don't know why it made me laugh so much, but it was just
I love the one everybody gets in on it, and like the what are you here for's, and it's like shit, wank, scroll.
Yeah. It's like, does everyone carry like a Vivid with them? Like, what is it? Is it just
people that take their penny to the toilet,
or is it just like one guy in there?
Yeah, with
many,
like
many personalities,
with like a Crayola set.
Whoever you are, keep it up. You're making me laugh.
You're doing God's work.
Also, don't graffiti on site. Wink.
My yum this week is my mum's puppy that she's got at the moment.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, they got a Great Dane puppy.
Yeah, barely a puppy.
Bro, this thing's put on 8.5 kilos.
Jesus.
Like, in like a few weeks.
Does she know what she's getting into, getting a Great Dane?
Apparently, like, rumor has it, is that they don't, because they're so big, they just empty their gas tank real quick, and they just don't need to be exercised that much. They're also kind of brittle. Like, you know, like a thoroughbred horse, like, a horse isn't, like, their legs, their shins in particular, aren't designed to carry their body, so that's why whenever they break a leg, it's like a big deal. It doesn't just break, it like shatters, then you got to shoot it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like me with a cough, I'm a thoroughbred down, I consider it the end of my life. But no, this thing is like a little horse. At the moment, he's just, all his body parts are too big for him, and he's this little head just bobbing around, and he's getting big and destructive quick, but he's got a gentle soul.
Oh.
Apparently, yeah, when they get full size and that, if you put them up on their hind legs, like, they can just put their arms over your shoulders and just look you in the eye like 6'3". Bro, I'm getting a saddle for that thing.
Yeah. Nah, this scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, but he doesn't, like, it's... He's got the roly fat face and everything. But you do have to, like... You can't let them be excitable dogs, because if you don't get that out of them... They want to be excited, which is, like, a natural puppy thing, but you got to kind of be, like... Put your fucking head in.
Yeah, tone it down, because when you get older...
When you do that, when you're large and in charge, you're breaking the fine china, and you don't... Dude, you're ruining the day for all of us if Shannon gets upset. And I'm not even in the house. I'll hear it.
Yeah, and I can't blame the dog.
Nah. I'll hear it through the paddock. Just the, yeah! There'll be a dog head on a spear.
Just see a silhouette of Shannon with a spear. Like
Zeus is at the door. He's like, nah, fuck that. All right, that was episode 412. We will see you for the next one. Anyway, peace, guys.
Later.